on staff lists.
Point of information.
Yes.
Are they allowed to be on the air if they haven't done the training?
I don't know. Good question. Anybody know the answer to that? I didn't even know if there was going to be mandated or not. There was discussion about it a few weeks ago, but I don't know.
The law says that sexual harassment training has to be given to managers in California only, I think. I mean, I don't know if you're asking legally, but there is no this idea to do all staff unpaid and paid is something that came from the PMB, from Grace, actually. So I don't think there is any language or any system around this.
Yosh for staff.
Okay, Yosh.
Yeah, kind of in response to Bonnie, yes, Grace has been very proactive in sex harassment training, and rightfully so. And I can tell you that for California, or at least working for the state government, California state government, and Anthony can probably verify this, every single employee in our division has to take a sexual harassment training, not just managers. And you have to certify it, and you have to mail in your certification. My secretary asked me today to take her sexual harassment training for her, and I said, I respectfully declined. she was just kidding, although she didn't want to go through that ordeal. But everyone in our division is required to take it. And there's a very interesting case that came down in California regarding sexual harassment and firing a manager for having a sexual relationship with one of his subordinates. And he filed for wrongful termination, and the court said, tough luck, kiddo. Your company policy is managers will not sexually harass their employees by their term was fraternizing. That particular company disallowed fraternization between the supervisor and the supervisee. And so the supervisor was fired, and he sued, and he lost.
Okay, we've gone 10 minutes on the staff list thing. We didn't take 10 minutes on the membership list, but are we done with this discussion, or anybody else have any updates? Okay, I guess not. The next item on the agenda, number 6, and this is sort of a question I had after talking to Les today. Do we want to form a task force or subcommittee to work on the list of challenges and fair campaign issues from past elections that he is collecting? He indicated he could use some help with this. And this would be to help resolve some of the conflicting decisions and guidelines that have come up in the past, and develop other recommendations to reduce confusion and challenges this time. And then, if so, then who would like to be on such a task force? And so this group could be open to any committee members, and then we might meet as needed between now and the next regular election committee meeting.
So can I ask a question? So is Les collecting them, and we'll just be looking at the ones that are contradictory?
Well, he's collecting ones that he felt need clarification. Some of them, he said, were contradictory. The different LESs or NESs had ruled differently on the same or similar issue. But there's other things that are just, or he felt were maybe ambiguous or needed to have clarifications on. I think some of it was some of those list of things we sent him earlier, but there were other things. Because he had told us in the long conference call we had with him a few weeks ago that he would go through all of the preceding challenges. I think that's what he's mostly looking at, and look at the way the rulings went. Hope that answers your question.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you guys are forming a task force, I'll be on it. I don't want to run it or anything. But if you're not, then I'll just give you my opinions.
Okay.
Yeah, I normally do.
you can.
Anybody else want to be on such a task force?
Yeah, Yosh does.
Yeah, and Anthony. and Bob.
And Carolyn, please.
Okay, I'm writing this down. Let's see. Carolyn, I would too. Okay, so it's over here. Wendy, Yosh, Anthony, Bob, Carolyn, Bill. Anybody else? And guess what we'll do is when we schedule a conference call, just send it out to the whole committee and so somebody else can join in if they want to.
Yeah, that's good.
And maybe, I think he's going to email us the list, so that way, you know, you can all send in your comments by email too, perhaps. At least I hope it's by email. Any questions on this or other suggestions for Les? We just wait till he comes up with the list.
I think I just saw Juan Gonzalez on a baseball show on PBS. He just flashed his picture. It's like the Roberto Clemente show or something.
Okay, is he running for the NLSB? If not, is that relevant?
I'm sorry.
No, I just wondering. We have to watch everything.
Okay. All right, I guess we're done with the item six from task force. Okay, then this is, okay, the next item was something that's come up before we never really finished discussing. Cost-saving proposal to amend bylaws to extend delegate terms to 4 years. Anybody want to start the discussion on that?
I will.
Okay, Wendy.
I don't know who's brought it up this year. I call it the Casey Peters proposal. We spent a lot of time on it 2 years ago. It's a bylaws amendment, and it didn't pass after extensive discussion and some people who really thought it was a good idea, and I would vote no on it at this time.
Okay.
This is Bob.
Well, anybody want to speak in favor of it? Otherwise, we don't need to discuss it, I guess.
This is Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah, I was one of the people who supported it last time, and I still think it's worth considering because for two reasons. One, as we all know, these elections cost somewhere in the range of $200,000 each time, and given what looks to be for the foreseeable future, the financial crisis facing the network, that is a really large expense to bear. And the other reason, which I think makes the downside of extending terms and making more, you know, a longer interval between elections makes that worthwhile, is that every election, it creates a tremendous amount of divisiveness and diversion of energy and, a lot of effort going into an election rather than keeping the network going and doing the day-to-day work of the network. And it's just, it becomes a distraction and something that actually stirs up a lot of bad feelings and a lot of negative points about what the station is doing or isn't doing. And I just think it's not healthy for the network either, in the general climate or financially. So that's why I think it makes sense.
Okay. Other comments, anyone?
Carolyn.
Okay, Carolyn.
Yeah, Wendy, this was already voted on, so why are we, if we can't do it again if we already voted on it, so perhaps this is out of order.
No, you can try and pass something again later if you're doing
that. No, you can't. You can't bring back a motion that's already been voted on and rejected or passed. You can't resuscitate it unless it's substantially different.
This is Bob.
Sure.
Okay, Bob.
Yeah. What Carolyn's saying has absolutely no basis in Robert's Rules or anything else. I mean, first of all, this was 2 years ago, so I could certainly see the point if it was just voted down last month. But it was 2 years ago. It was a completely different set of boards. It actually, if I recall correctly, it did pass two of the boards, and it only needs to pass three to go on the ballot for the membership to vote on. So it actually was fairly close. So, but at any point, someone can bring back a proposal from the past that has failed and offer it again.
It was approved by the PNB and two LSPs.
That's my recollection, but
okay.
I could be wrong about the exact.
I don't think it was approved by the PNB. We started to do all this. There were some other amendments at the same time. It's sort of the same thing every time we do. We spend a lot of time on bylaws amendments, and then they end up not passing. Since I'm talking, I know I'm sorry I interrupted, but I was for it last time. There was a couple of different ways. There was like three different amendments, and two of them had to do with this four-year thing. And one thing that I like about it is because then it would allow for a pretty easy, it would be another whole issue, but the PNB terms could be increased to 2 years if you had four-year terms. And you know, people will say, well, you just want to extend your own time as a PNB member, and that's not it. I mean, first of all, me saying it now, I'm out this year no matter what. But it's you know, the institutional memory, just when the board starts to work together, then there's another election and the national board changes out. And so it's been kind of a disaster, in my opinion, having one-year terms for the PNB. But anyway, I don't think that there's any chance in hell of this passing. That's why I'm voting. It doesn't even make sense, but that's why I'm voting against it.
Okay.
Carolyn on the staff?
Well, yeah, Carolyn.
Yeah, I remember quite the opposite of Bob's recollection, that in fact one may not resuscitate a motion that has already been addressed unless it's substantially different. But on the other hand, perhaps whoever it was who took my Robert's rules from a meeting somewhere down the line, a PNB meeting, would look it up and let us know. I don't have a copy left anymore. But in any event, I'm against it simply because it is a bylaws election. We've already been through this, and it just requires too many adjustments.
You were kind of breaking up there, but...
It requires too many adjustments to what we're doing now. Sorry, my battery is dying.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, a lot of people talk about other changes to the bylaws, so I don't know if it should just be wait till we get other things done, but I just thought
give people
opportunity to bring this up. If nobody wants to have a motion, then we'll just, we don't need to worry about it.
I mean, why don't we just keep it on the radar, you know, and when people start working on it, you don't have to, how you have to put sets of bylaws amendments through all at the same time. I mean, I don't see any way that this could get through anytime soon, so why not just wait?
Okay. Anybody else have any objections to that? At least we got a little brief discussion on it. Okay. Okay, next item, new business, two items. This is... There's been new business for a long time, so sort of old business, but we never got to talk about it much. First was changes to MIMSIS. Well, I guess everybody knows that's the database program that member database program that all our stations use. Changes to that we want to request or recommend, and possibly form a task force. Any discussion or comments, anyone?
Oh, it's definitely Juan Gonzalez.
Send them a candidate statement or a nomination form, Wendy.
I mean, does anybody here on this committee right now, are we really familiar enough to recommend changes to MIMSIS?
I want to address that for a minute.
Carolyn, yeah, Carolyn.
Out of my profound ignorance. One of the issues that has come up is, and I think Steve Brown has hammered at this enough so I'm beginning to understand it, the difference between a donor database and a membership database. And one of the things we might want to do is begin to move to real membership, rolling memberships, but firm membership dates, beginning and end. Right now, if you pledge and someone says, are you a member? Okay, we'll renew. And so you renew. And so you never know when your membership really was supposed to end or when it's going to end in the future, and then you keep getting thank you for your pledge, and there's nothing in it that says, you know, you're a member until such and such a date. So I'd like to separate those functions and say a pledge is a donation is a donation, a pledge is a pledge, and your membership begins and ends on such and such a date, and make it separate from a pledge. It's not just a way of getting $25 extra out of people, because they would realize that the next time we're asked to pledge, that they just paid for a renewal, and they'd reduce their pledges by something. But I think there's a lot to be said for a membership campaign. I'm flooded with them all the time. I get two or three letters for every organization I belong to. Your membership is about to expire. It's going to expire even sooner than you thought. It just expired, you know, don't leave us. There's a whole lot of organizing that goes on around membership campaigns. So I'd like to explore with Nick Herlick and MEMSIS what it would take to separate those and ask Steve to outline for us again the advantages that there might be to a separate membership timetable and stop automatically renewing people when they pledge and just using the occasion of their membership coming up to recruit them and educate them and ask them, you know, for more support and but also for information, and it's a good public relations event. So does anybody think that that makes any sense?
You know, this is Bill. Let me put myself in a sec. This reminds me, this was a discussion we had last year. We were talking, in fact, or I think it was last year, when we were talking to the guy from MEMSIS.
Nick Herlick, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. One of the issues that came up was, because we're constrained by our bylaws, too, but somebody could give $1,000, say, January of last year, and according to our bylaws, their membership expires, you know, a year later. Even though, but then there's also, I think, apparently in some stations that was being entered differently so that if their current membership didn't expire until, say, August, then it was being entered as an extension of 1 year of their current membership year. But I don't think our bylaws actually provide for that.
Exactly.
And at any rate, I don't think it allows people to pay memberships more than 1 year in advance, like you could consider the $1,000 to be a multiple-year membership. So some of this may take bylaws amendments, too, but there's also, do we want to ensure that the data gets entered uniformly and correctly, you know, in MEMSIS at all our stations? I don't know. Does anybody know how their station does things like this? Or is it something we need to ask about?
Ms. Yoshi, and I would say yes. I think we should ask each of our subscription managers, you know, how that particular station records a membership and whether that membership is extended by a new gift or not. For one thing, that'll tell us whether we have uniformity across the signal areas.
Yeah, this is Wendy.
Okay, yeah, Wendy.
First of all, I just saw the credits. It was not Juan Gonzalez. And second of all, so you know how it works with affiliates? It's like the first time you ever became a member, that's your initial date, and your membership lasts for a year beyond that date. And what MEMSIS does is it knows your renewal date based on that first date that you ever originally gave. And even if you give every time in a fund drive, it still considers your membership expiring on a year from that date that you first did it. But when they do these elections, they can run a manual query, you know, because our bylaws say it's a year from, now it's July 15th, or June 15th. That's what our stations do, is they manually query it to see if you've given $25 in the last year. That all still works. But yeah, it would be nicer if MEMSIS, you know, did do it on rolling membership like the way we do it. I know I'm not answering any of the questions you guys had, but
well, actually, I guess maybe that's something we should ask Les to verify that all the LASs are doing when they query the database.
Yeah, I mean, that's also how they pick up the people that are sustainers, you know, that give $10 a month. You know, they wouldn't show up on this member renewal thing the same way as other people do. But they just manually query it to see if they've given $25 in the last year, and they have.
Oh, that's a whole can of worms, because then the question comes up of what about somebody who donates $100 and on a monthly basis, ETF, and spends $20, you know, a month, do they get their membership before or after? Do they get the premium after the second payment or the third? It's really quite a mess. So, yeah, I would like to ask Wes, you know, how uniform that is and how uniform we could make it, I think, is more the question. Not Les, I'm sorry, Nick Hurley.
Okay, well, we need to ask Les what to check on, I guess.
I suspect he doesn't even, well, he probably knows, but it's probably not the greatest thing he's interested in at the moment.
Okay. Let's see, I'm making some notes here. Anybody else have comments or questions or things we should ask Les, at least, about MIMSIS and our database?
Before we form another task force, could I ask who's going to convene the one we did earlier that had Yoshi, Anthony, Bob, Bill, Wendy?
Oh, yeah, thank you.
I clearly
would like
recollect
to do that.
Wendy volunteering for that.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, thank
Wendy,
you,
Yoshi, Anthony, Bob, Carolyn, Bill.
I vote for Anthony to convene it.
Silas must be consent, huh?
He'll do it. He's a really nice guy.
Okay. Would you like to do that, Anthony?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, now I'll when I talk to Les, or I'll probably email him first, notes and all this stuff, I'll tell him we're available and ready. When he's ready. Okay. Okay, thank you, Anthony. Okay, other questions about MIMSIS? I guess if you think of anything, let us know. That's something the task force could work on. Well, that's a little different issue, but everybody can send their suggestions to Les Radke anytime. Okay, the other item on our new business was a motion to on campaign finance reform. This was also from quite a few months ago, and I copied that into the agenda, or at the end of the agenda. Forgot who brought that up initially. Oh, originally offered by PNB member Margaret Prescott. So take a minute to look at that. Do we want to do anything with that? Maybe I should read it out loud for anybody listening on the stream or in the archives. Whereas the Pacifica National Board reaffirms its commitment to free and fair local station board elections, whereas the intent of the Pacifica National Board and the Pacifica election bylaws is to protect the right to equal access for all candidates, whereas the right process, procedures, cost, or timeline to distribute a mailer to the entire membership of local signal areas should be communicated to all candidates running for local station board elections, whereas the spending of large sums of money in Pacifica campaigns runs counter to the non-commercial nature of the Pacifica radio network, while underscoring the discriminatory nature of campaign financing so prevalent and objectionable in mainstream elections, whereas the Pacifica National Board is deeply concerned about the resulting unequal access of individual candidates and or slates that have the financial backing to pay for mailers to be sent to all local station members, whereas allowing expensive mailers is discriminatory in particular, but not only to women and people of color who often have the least resources as well as those interested in running as independents, whereas there is a lack of protection of Pacifica from the abuse of corporate money being used to cover the cost of mailers that could leave Pacifica open to takeovers of local station boards by those with financial backing, be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board form a special task force, including membership of the Campaign Reform Subcommittee of the PNB Elections Committee, which is us, to revise the election rules to assure that those most economically disadvantaged are not discouraged from participating in the process, be it further resolved that the Pacifica National Board approved guidelines for the use of local station membership lists that are in accordance with state and federal law as well as the bylaws of Pacifica, and that these guidelines must be in place 6 months prior to the next local station board elections. And bear in mind, this motion has been around for longer than that. But
now that's what I call a moot motion.
For this election.
Well, the 6 months prior would certainly be hard, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, there are... I don't know if any of the guidelines that Les wants to clarify or help clarifying deal with slate mailings and that sort of thing, but I'm sure that issue will come up again, you know, in another month or two.
I think it's been dealt with in that it's simply an abridgment of First Amendment rights to restrict those mailings, period.
This is Bob.
Yeah, Bob?
Yeah, I strongly support this motion, and I think this is a really critical issue because it's one of the most fundamental ways that the election process at Pacifica has become kind of the opposite of what it was intended to be, which is a balanced and genuine venue for democratic expression of the will of listeners and staff, and instead it's become kind of a bidding war for who can spend the most money and have the slickest literature, and in that way starting to resemble conventional government elections in terms of the corrupting influence of money. And I don't agree with Carolyn that there is no First Amendment right to flood an election with expensive literature. That's been established certainly in government elections. That issue has been litigated up to the Supreme Court, and you know, over and over again has been found that there is a right to regulate that. And certainly with the nonprofit law, you know, the right to send mailings can be counterbalanced by the right to have a fair and equalized election where there's not undue advantage given to those individuals or groups that have access to raising a lot more money. So I think it is something that we should look at carefully and, you know, perhaps form a task force so that we can see what the legal issues are and what the mechanisms might be to try to balance out this, you know, this inequity in access to campaign literature that can sway voters based on who can raise more money.
Well, I have guess a kind of a point of information. Anybody who was on the PNB last year, I think this is when it came up. I assume this was passed by the PNB, and it's a directive to us. Is that correct, or can anybody confirm that?
No.
Okay.
My recollection is it was referred to the election committee. So
okay.
It was passed, but it was, you know, it was mandated that the elections committee look at it and come up with a position.
Right. Well, the first resolved says the PNB form a special task force, including membership of the campaign reform subcommittee of our committee. So,
I guess we had one of those last time.
Right, we did.
So what did that committee do? Did they come up with anything?
I think it never really followed through, you know, the issue was unresolved. It was left to the next year's election committee, and then it was always at the bottom of every agenda, and we never got to it.
Right, now we're finally getting to it.
Yep.
Yes.
We're finally getting to
it. Can I ask Bob a question?
Well, yeah, the point of information, what was that?
Because I served last year, and I have no clear recollection. I mean, I do support Margaret's intended motion, but I'd like to know what the legal status of that proposed motion was, first of all, because I don't think there was ever one iota of effort of trying to form some sort of a joint task force involving the PNB and some subcommittee of the Elections Committee. So I guess I could ask Margaret and ask her if she remembers this motion passing, or perhaps we can figure out at what meeting this motion passed, if at all.
Carolyn, almost that?
Okay, Carolyn?
Yeah, we do have a list of motions that were passed by the PNB. I don't have it right handy, but there is such a list. Perhaps we could look that up and come back to the next meeting with an answer to Yosha's question, and then proceed from there.
Well, one reason I wanted to get to on this meeting, if we could, is that doing anything, if this task force is going to do anything regarding recommendations for slate mailings, it needs to happen pretty quick. I'm not sure there would be time if we wait till the next meeting to get started. Maybe we would. I don't know. I'm not sure when the mailings would be going out, but
Yosh for Stack.
And Bob.
Yeah, Yosh.
Yeah,
Yosh
I guess I guess I would be interested in knowing whether the PNB ever passed it, but I think Bill is right. I think we can go ahead and act on our own and you know, pass a motion or form a working group and make a recommendation or a non-recommendation or do whatever and make a recommendation to the PNB, and then it'll be up to the PNB whether they want to take up this issue and whether they want to pass it or reject it.
Okay, so you're suggesting we form a task force then to develop recommendations on this?
Yes.
Okay. And then, Bob, you were next on the stack.
Okay, yeah. Well, I agree with Yosh, and just to repeat, my very clear recollection is that the PNB, which at that time I was on, I think it was actually 07, not 08, that this passed. That's how long this has been bouncing around. But that they didn't pass it. They simply moved and passed a motion to refer it to this committee to look at. So that's where it's at. We're now finally looking at it. And so we can certainly, you know, form our own working group. We can recommend something back to them. We can do whatever we want, and we should. And I agree, time isn't wasting with this election. Just because this particular one was worded in terms of 6 months prior to the election, it's just a motion that has not been approved. So we're not bound by that. We could come up with our own recommendations. So I think we should move forward.
Okay. Well, who would like to be on? Yosh suggests we form a task force, so I guess the question would be who would like to be on it. Unless there's objections, we can form it, and it's just going to be making recommendations anyway.
And the task force will come back to the election committee?
Right.
Right, I guess at our next monthly meeting, the third Monday of July. Which will be just a little bit after the filing deadline, July 20th. Would that be in time for the PNB to do anything with it?
Well,
or I guess he could also go to Les, but before then, Les Radke.
Right. This is Bob.
Yes, Bob.
It would seem to me that as long as whatever policy is adopted before the date that mailings would have to go out, then that would be okay. And since the, I believe, if I'm recalling correctly, the new deadline now is the mailings going out something like August 31st, that, you know, that as long as a few weeks before that, the ballots are going out then, that as long as a few weeks before that a policy is in place, then that would guide, you know, any applications for mailings that are made.
Okay. So who would like to be on the task force?
Bob.
Okay, Bob. Who else?
Anthony.
Anyone else?
Yosh.
Okay. Others? Who else left the call other than who left early, but anyway, okay. All right. Well, I guess I'll put myself down. I'm not sure I'll have a lot of time for this, but I'm interested. And who would like to convene it?
May I suggest that Bob convene this, because Anthony already has one assignment, as does Bill and Yosh, so I think Bob is the one who putatively has the most free time. Lots of free time, right, Bob?
Yeah, right. Well, it's a little difficult, but okay. I'll do it.
Great. Okay. All you do is just set a date and time and let the rest of the whole all the committee know so they can join in.
Okay.
You know how to do that, so okay.
I'm sorry, could you please repeat the people who volunteered, the list?
Bob, Anthony, Bill, Yosh.
Okay. All right.
Okay. We're actually through the agenda, and we're not, and it's less than 2 hours?
Move to adjourn.
Remarkable.
Amazing. Okay.
That's wonderful.
hear a motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn.
Second. Any objections? Okay, well, thank you all. I'll be talking to some of you on the next task force conference call.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
thank you
all.
Good night.